Gentlemen and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
We got a lot to get to today, boy.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot to get to. So last night, we were all posed with a choice. What did we think about the future, our lives, and how it affected us on a daily basis? And we had to sit there and think to ourselves, what do we want for ourselves, for our children, for our city, for our futures? And I know it's a very polarizing choice to have to make, the kind of choices we had to make last night. And the Nashville Predators made that choice. You didn't think I was actually talking about the debate, did you? The Nashville Predators made that choice last night when Barry Trotz unofficially agreed to a contract extension with UC Soros, $7.74 million. The Predators love to do this. It's a very cutesy thing. You know, Roman Josi makes $9.059 million. So $7.74 million. For UC Soros on an 8-year extension, which means on the surface, 9 more years of UC Soros. That's what it means. And I got to tell you, I was not surprised last night when Elliot broke that story, but I was a little disappointed. And I've been thinking about it all day. About what does this mean for the future of the Predators? What does this mean for UC Soros? What does this mean for Yaroslav Askarov? What does this mean for Barry Trotz? Now, let me say this. As much as we do get into our political parties and it's now become so tribal, it's, oh, no, that's my guy. No, that's my guy. Your guy sucks. My guy's good. It's like everything that your guy has to do, you have to believe in. And everything that the other guy wants to do or says, you have to say sucks. And I don't believe in that. I don't believe that just because somebody feels one way about immigration, they necessarily feel the way that everybody else who feels the same way about immigration feels the same way about abortion. That's what I hate about politics. Well, I like Barry Trotz, and I like the job Barry Trotz has done. And I think Barry Trotz is a bright guy. I think he's a straight shooter. I am glad he is the general manager of my team. But this is the first major decision that Barry Trotz has made that I disagree with. I do think UC Soros took somewhat of a hometown discount, given that he'll be the sixth highest paid goalie in the league once Shesterkin signs. And his contract, again, at $7.74 million, that's not going to go up with league-wide inflation, which is absolutely going to happen during the life of this contract because the NHL's TV contract is up after 2028, and the need for live sports is so massive. The NBA has deteriorating ratings. You know, people don't care about the NBA as much anymore, and they just doubled their money. So when the NHL comes due, they're going to sign for a buttload of money, and UC Soros' contract at 774 will not look that bad. But again, this is a massive commitment that Barry Trotz made today, which in order to accept it, you'd have to say that you don't blame UC Soros for the fact that this team, since he's become the starting goaltender, has not been able to exit the first round of the playoffs. Or, in the case of the Arizona Bubble Series, where he was horrendous, the play-in to the playoffs. And I can't do that. I can't do that. I sat there and watched the Vancouver series. I was optimistic, and I really, at that point, had not made up my mind, and I watched the Vancouver series, and another series again with Soros in net where you don't win and another first-round exit, and I'm like, when are things going to change? And when you pay a goalie $7-plus million a year, look, I get it. Bobrovsky makes 10, and Shesterkin's going to make more money than that, and Hellebuck makes more money than that. I understand. But when you pay a goalie in a league with a real cap, when you pay him 7¾ of $1 million a year, he's got to steal games and steal series in the playoffs. And UC Soros doesn't do that. At least he hasn't done that yet. And while I hate whenever a sports argument turns into, well, who are you going to get that's any better? You know, anytime we talk about firing a coach, there's always who are you going to get that's any better? As if there's not some offensive or defensive coordinator we don't know about who's the next Kirby Smart or the next Sean McVay. Who are you going to get to see better? But in the case of a quarterback or a goaltender or something like that, I get it. Well, we know who the second option is when it comes to the Predators and the goaltending situation. And the Predators' second option is the top goalie prospect in the game, who's the highest draft pick the Predators have made in a decade since they drafted Seth Jones. So again, while I've agreed with almost every move that Barry Trotz has made in the year that he has been the general manager of the Predators, whether it's dumping Ryan Johansson and dumping Matt Duchene and signing Ryan O'Reilly. Remember, a lot of people are upset when they signed Ryan O'Reilly because they looked at his age and they said, 4 years? What are they doing this for? This team should be rebuilding. This team should be. And Barry Trotz said, nope, I want the serial winners around my young guys. And I thought that was a good move. And I like Ryan O'Reilly, and I'm glad Ryan O'Reilly is a Predator. I was totally in on not selling at the trade deadline because this team looked like they were going to the playoffs, and this team had done enough to make me think they could do something in the playoffs. I love the Jason Zucker move. You give up a sixth-round pick to get a second-line forward. Everybody else is giving up first- and second-round picks for Reynolds at the deadline. You're getting a good player in Zucker. You're only giving up a sixth. So every move so far, I think I've agreed with from Barry Trotz. This is the one that I'm not sure I feel so good about. I remember when the Predators signed Ryan Ellis to that massively long contract. And if you remember, I was banging the table saying, trade him, trade him, trade him. Get the young assets, get the money, you know, get a couple of prospects, get a couple of picks. Hal Gill told me I was crazy. And I said to Hal, I go, I don't like these 8-year deals. And Hal said, well, then you're not going to get players. If you don't want to give 7- and 8-year deals, you're not going to get players. But the truth of the matter is, when you look at the last generation of the Predators, of all the long contracts they've signed, most of them have not worked out. Ryan Johansson did not finish the contract. Victor Arvidsson did not finish the contract. Kyle Turris did not finish the contract. Matt Duchene did not finish the contract. Even Shea Weber, first ballot Hall of Famer, Shea Weber didn't finish the contract. And the second thing with this is I just really don't believe in investing in a goalie. I don't believe that in the playoffs in the NHL, teams win because of the goalie. I don't think that's why Vegas won. I don't think that's why Colorado won the year before that. I do know Bobrovsky makes $10 million bucks, and he was a big part of why the Panthers won. But again, for the most part, I just don't believe investing in a goalie to get you over the hump in the playoffs. And I certainly don't believe in the long contracts. That said, I am a believer in Barry Trotz. And some of the controversial decisions, like firing John Hines or canceling the Vegas trip, have all worked out magically. But at the same time, none of those moves carried the implications that this one does. Getting rid of Johansson, like, what's the downside to that? That he's on the books this year for $4 million? So what? There's really no downside. It's not like Ryan Johansson was going to go to Colorado and become Nathan MacKinnon 2.0. It's not like firing John Hines. I mean, the Wild have snatched him up. I don't know about you guys. I'm not totally afraid that the Predators just fired hockey's version of Bill Belichick. This one has serious implications. This is a franchise-level commitment to a goaltender who wins 31% of his games in the playoffs. And this is a fan base that is not going to be patient if UC Saros keeps winning 31% of his playoff starts. By the way, Pecorine won 51% of his playoff starts. Let me say this. Barry Trotz was up front with every single one of us. He came on this show on Monday, and he made it clear that they were going to sign UC Saros. So it's not like we should be surprised. And again, last night when Elliott put out there that the Predators had signed UC Saros, I wasn't surprised, but I wasn't happy about it either. It's not a move I agree with. But again, That's why he makes those calls. That's why he makes that money to make those decisions. And that's why I make the money I make in order to analyze those decisions. And my analysis of this is it's not something I would have done. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. 9 more years of UC Soros. But the one thing that I will not say, Barry made it clear he was going to re-sign Soros on the show on Monday. He also made it clear he was going to give UC Soros trade protection. But there is one thing that I feel very strongly about when it comes to the UC Soros trade protection, and I feel very certain that my feeling about his trade protection is correct, and we'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025, your reaction to the Soros deal. I don't agree with it. I would not have signed him to an 8-year contract. That's just me. Everything else Barry Trotz has done so far, I've been all in on, I've agreed with. They've been good moves. They've worked out. This one I'm not so sure about. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, 1025, 1063 The Game. Given the Askarov situation, does that make you maybe a little cautious about including a no move in a deal for Soros?
No, not really. Not really. I think certain players, they get to a certain level in the league that they earn that right. So, I think Kanjuice is one. He should have some protection if we get a deal done. He's proven it in the league. So, but I do think, you know, and it has to have a limit to it, just like anything. And, you know, it's probably a little different. I talk about this a little bit, just in general to, you know, other general managers and, there's only one guy can play in goal. You can have 12 guys that can play forward. You got 6 guys that can play defense. So, when it comes to those, some of those, you have to just be cautious. That's all.
That was Barry Trotz on our program saying, when I asked, are you nervous about giving UC Soros trade protection? And Trotz was like, no, not really. And you want to know why I don't think he was nervous about giving trade protection to UC Soros on Monday, Ian?
Why is that?
Because he probably already did it. At that point, when I said, you nervous about trade protection? No. Because he probably already had done it. Now, I do think we need to be specific about the trade protection. Because, as Barry said, you know, you can have 12 forwards. You can have 6 defensemen, but you can only have 1 goalie. So if you give a goalie a full no move and that blows up in your face, you're screwed. So I was listening to Robbie and Retro today talk about this, and they were talking about the no move, and they were talking about Askarov, and they were talking about kind of all the little nooks and crannies of this. I'm going to tell you what I think is in my gut. You got that, Ian? Write that down. This is in my gut. This is my sense of what I think the no-move parameters on Soros' contract are. I think that the early portion of the contract extension probably does feature a full no-move, but as the contract gets later down the road, my gut feeling is that it probably becomes significantly less strict. That in order to give Soros the 8 years on the deal, the Predators basically had to say to him, look, we're committed to you for now, and you'll be our starting goalie for a little bit on the front end, but eventually we may switch it over to the other guy. And if we do, we need to have the ability to be able to do so. And I believe that, again, we know how much of a straight shooter Barry Trotz is. It would not surprise me if when they sat down to hammer this deal out, if Barry Trotz looked at UC Soros' agent and said, we'll give you a full no move for the first 3 or 4 years of the extension, and then after that, it's going to dwindle. So that when we get into years 5, 6, 7, 8 of this contract extension, we will be able to move UC, or, you know, we'll be able to do something. We'll be able to, he gives us a list of 10 teams that he doesn't want to go to, and then we can operate from there. But I guarantee you, this is not a full move, a full no move. In fact, should I guarantee that, Ian? If I'm going to guarantee it, should I guarantee it, or does it really count as a guarantee?
I mean, sure, I guess it would count as...
Nah, it's cheating.
Okay.
It'd be cheating to guarantee that, but I do guarantee it. That it's not, this is not an 8-year full no. This is not Yossi. This is not Forsberg. My gut is telling me. And I do think, again, there is going to be this huge sentiment that the Predators have made their bed and it's UC Soros, that they have planted their flag into the ground and it is UC Soros. And I believe that that is the reality of the situation, even if that's not what they're intending it to be. My, again, sense is that they are not planting their flag into UC Soros. They are planting their flag into UC Soros right now, and then 3 or 4 years down the road, they will assess as far as Askarov is concerned. Again, I think that sounds nice. I'm not sure that that's really feasible. I mean, Askarov is not going to be happy about this Soros trade, and he needs a new contract after this year, and who knows, he always has the ability to go back to Russia, which is something to keep in mind. But as far as the trade protection, I am convinced it is not a full no move. And I do think the Willie Donick utopian plan of let's re-sign Soros, let's bring in Askarov to be the backup, and they're going to sign another backup this year. And what I think they're probably going to do is they're probably going to sign another backup, and then that backup will back up Soros every night. And then the backup, and I think it's going to be somebody like who was the backup in Dallas last year? Wedgwood? It'll be a guy like
Wedgwood?
That.
It could have been Scott Wedgwood.
It'll be somebody like that. It'll be the latest Anton Khudobin will be the backup to UC Soros, and Askarov will be in Milwaukee. And then when they play like a Saturday, Sunday back-to-back, I could see Askarov come up Sunday night, Soros plays Saturday, and then Askarov comes up Sunday and plays in that game and then goes right back down to Milwaukee. But I don't think that the Predators, I don't think they've made up their mind and said, UC Soros is our guy for the next 9 years unequivocally, the way that they have said that in the past about Josi and Forsberg. And unfortunately, Duchesne. Though Duchesne did not have, as we all know, Duchesne did not have a full no move. But I do not think that, again, that they are at a point to where they will tell you right now, 6 years down the road, that they know who the goalie's going to be. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. And a lot of you want to weigh in on this. One texter says, if you have agreed with all of Barry Trotz's decisions so far, would that not create trust? He must see something that you may not. I love your show and typically agree with most of everything you say, so I trust you when you say something. That comes from Shane in Brentwood. Shane, that is very, very nice of you to say. By the way, somebody texted into the Midday Show today, and they told Adam and Willie, Jared is always right. And I did appreciate that texter that said that during the Midday Show. I have an inordinate amount of trust in Barry Trotz. And so Barry Trotz, now, again, just because I have a lot of trust in somebody doesn't mean that on the surface I completely agree with them. I mean, I'm not yelling and screaming today saying this is going to be the worst decision that was ever made because I don't know that, but I just disagree with it. I mean, very well, Barry Trotz could be right that Soros is a part of the solution of why they don't win in the playoffs and is not a part of the problem. And that just like Sergei Bobrovsky, and we looked at their numbers over kind of this point through their careers, and Bobrovsky, who had played two more games than Soros up until this point, had incredibly similar stats. And so maybe Soros is really that good, and if they can get some better players around him with some better free agent signing, some better drafting, some better developing, then everything will take care of itself, and you won't have to worry when you get into the playoffs about the fact that you're going to get beat by Arthur Shelovs or Pavel Francosa or whatever the hell the guy's name was from Colorado. You won't get beat by those Scarbinis, and because you'll have better players in front of you. I just tell you where I sit today, I disagree with it. That's just how I feel. Matt says, it seems really smart to me if you want to trade him in 5 years, just like you said, everybody else will be making $15 and $16 million, and it should make the trade easier. Maybe. You know, the question is, when it comes to Soros, if you want to trade him 5 years from now, and he'll be 34 years old. If you want to trade him 5 years from now, there will be a reason that you want to trade him. And hopefully the reason is simply that Yaroslav Askarov is, you know, the best goalie in the NHL, and there is no reason to have UC Soros here anymore, and he can go start for somebody else, and you can make the trade. And then you're right. Then the fact that the 7-7-4 would actually probably look pretty good. But another reason, or at least something to be fearful of, is the reasons that you may want to trade him may be a reason why nobody else wants him, which is exactly what happened with Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene. I do not like the long contracts. I don't have a problem. 2, 3, 4 years, I don't have a problem with that. I got a problem with the 6- and 7-year deals. Because, again, every time the Predators have rolled the dice on those outside of Forsberg's 6x6 and Rene's big deal going back to 2012, every time the Predators roll the dice on these big deals, they have literally blown up in their face every time. Whether it was the Turris, the Johansson, the Duchene, every time. And it makes me nervous. Ed texts into the text line and says, take out the playoffs that he has not been elite in, and UC Saros has not had a good start to any season since becoming the starter. He is, in fact, a slow starter. That is absolutely the truth. And last season was the worst. Ed says he ranked 36th out of goalies prior to the 18-game point streak. Lehkonen was ranked higher than UC Saros, and I don't see him getting better as he gets older. I think that that just told Preds fans that we are not winning the cup anytime soon. Saros is going to have to win the playoffs with this contract. You know, I mean, there's no way around it. And I don't give a rat's ass if it was this guy's fault for taking a penalty or it was that guy's fault for not getting to the, you know, we couldn't get to the hard areas and, this guy got hurt. Saros is going to have to win the playoffs. Like, there's just no way around it. In order for this deal to not get you fired, Saros has to win in the playoffs. And I can't just get up here and tell you that Saros is going to win in the playoffs when Saros has not won in the playoffs. The slow starter thing doesn't necessarily bother me unless we have another pandemic, knock on wood, and we have to restart the season with one preseason game like we did in the bubble. But in hindsight, and there was no way to know that Saros was a slow starter then because I think it was his third or fourth year in the league and he had never been a true starter at that point. But, I mean, given his slow starts, they should have started Pecorine in that Arizona bubble series just because Saros is terrible at the beginning of seasons. Now, again, I don't think that's that big of a deal, but it should be noted that if he comes back off of an injury, that he's going to struggle at the beginning when he comes back because that's just what happens to him. But again, as far as I'm concerned, he's going to have to win in the playoffs in order to justify the deal. This is a commitment. And again, Forsberg was a commitment too. But Philip Forsberg can play on the first line, the second line, the third line, or the fourth line. If you get a better player than Philip Forsberg, then you can move Philip Forsberg down. Similar situation with Roman Josi. There are other defensemen. But you only pay one goalie. And when it comes to Saros, today you decided you're paying him. He's the one goalie. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to get in, we'll get back to your phones. 615-737-1025. Ian, did you see the Askarov Instagram post?
I heard about it. I don't have Instagram.
So I did see the Askarov Instagram post, and I saw the Frank Saravalli report. And there is some, we need to talk about this. It is what it is. Do not miss out on Nashville's best deal for Deacon's New South in downtown Nashville, where exceptional service meets exceptional Southern service. Their dry-aged steaks and chef-inspired dishes are complemented by inventive sides and desserts featuring locally sourced produce. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 while supplies last.
You draft a guy, Askarov, with a high first-round draft pick. You are drafting him because you believe he's the future. And Nashville's always had a goaltending pipeline. I get it. But you're drafting him to be the guy. When you draft a guy to be the guy, he's usually brought up faster than the average developing goalie. So if you go off the timeline, it's sort of Askarov time. And when you give the other goalie 8 years, it's over. You just built a fence, a wall, and an impenetrable wall. And, you know, I've heard some people say, well, you know, Nashville, they're patient with their goalies, and Saros had to wait for it. So what? Askarov wants to play, and I'm sure at this point he feels like he's ready to be a National Hockey League goaltender. So There's no way Barry Trotz did this deal thinking he could placate Askarov as well. There has to be an understanding. I'm sure he heard from his agent. There has to be an understanding that they have to accommodate this guy. So I don't know what the demand is for him or how quickly you need to get him out of the organization. But the idea that you can just be patient, play the long game with this and keep him in Milwaukee, that's, there's no way Barry Trotz could have done a deal of that fashion thinking.
That was Boomer Gordon on NHL Network Radio about an hour ago. And let me say this. I could be wrong. I actually think that's exactly what happened. Like, I think Boomer Gordon saying, hey, you draft a goalie 11th overall. I mean, yes, goalies take longer to develop, but you're trying to get that goalie up to Nashville sooner rather than later. And this guy's been down for 4 years. So what are you going to do? You keep him in Milwaukee for 7 more years? No. You going to have him be the backup? No. This guy was drafted to play. This guy wants to play. And at some point, you're going to have to move him so that he can go somewhere else and he can play. And Boomer Gordon saying there's no way Barry Trotz thought that he could make this move and at some point make Yaroslav Askarov happy. And I actually think that Barry did think that. Now, I don't know if it's feasible or not, but I think Barry Trotz looks at it like, hey, I've got a good young goalie in Askarov. I've got a good in his prime goalie in Saros, so I'm going to extend Saros. I'm going to give him a little trade protection on the front end. We're going to bring Askarov along slowly because that's what we do, and Barry Trotz said that the day he took the job. He said, we're not going to microwave our players. We're going to cook them in the minors. And I've always said, things like that on the front end sound good, but then when you want to practice them, there is a, whoa, 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 where's our guys? And I get it because I'm the one saying, whoa, 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 where's our guys? But he's going to cook him down in the minors, and then he's going to bring him up, and he's going to have him back up Saros, and then he's going to go a little – I think Barry's plan is to have it go 1A, 1B for about 3 or 4 years, not starting this year, but maybe next year, 1A, 1B, and then he's going to make a choice, and by then the trade protection will go down on Saros so he can move him if he wants to. But we have to take the other guy's feelings into account. And Yaroslav Askarov – put up on Instagram this morning a picture from the beach with a cryptic message that says, everything happens for a reason. Now, when do people say, hey, everything happens for a reason? Everything will work out the way it's supposed to. Do they tell you that after you get promoted? Do they tell you that after you have a child? Hey, everything happens for a reason. Congratulations, Bob and Cindy. Everything happens for a reason. No. They tell you that after something bad happens. You get laid off. You get dumped. Cheated on. Everything happens for a reason. You get cut from the JV team. Everything happens for a reason. Nobody ever says that after a good thing. So when he says everything happens for a reason, I know he's pissed. And I'll tell you the other reason why I know he's pissed. Because it was in English. Yaroslav Askarov's first language is not English. And his Instagram post from 4 days ago was not in English. So Yaroslav Askarov, who, again, he speaks English, kind of. I believe he had Igor Afanasyev as his translator with the media. But, again, being able to speak English and feeling comfortable to do it in front of the media are two totally different things. So Yaroslav Askarov speaks English to an extent, but it's not his number one language, and he's posting a cryptic Instagram story 6 hours after UC Saros signs a contract extension in English, and that is telling me that he's pissed because he wants us to know this. And so I don't know how Barry Trotz handles this because, look, we had Pekka on the show, and I asked Pekka about the whole Milwaukee thing. In fact, Ian, if you want to cue that cut up for me, when Pekka talked about being in New England, in Milwaukee for 3 years, you know, Pekka said, and this will be year three for Askarov going to Milwaukee. Pekka said at the time he didn't like it. Now that he can look back on it and he sees he has a statue, he seems to be okay with it.
I do wonder this from your perspective because you spent time in Milwaukee. How important is the extra time in Milwaukee as opposed to, well, he's doing well in Milwaukee, now bring him up here and make him the starting goalie for the Predators?
It's so important. Like, at the time when you're a player, like I played 3 years in Milwaukee, and after my, I thought after my first year that I'm ready to play in the NHL, and then I got sent down, played my second year, and I'm like, okay, that's it. I'm ready. And then I got sent down the third time, and it was mentally, it was so hard, but looking back, it was so good for me. I got to play all those 3 years as a number one goalie and got to play a lot, got to make a lot of mistakes, got it out of my system. And when I finally got up, I was already older than, than these guys at the time, but like Askey or, but I was ready. So like, I don't know, like my career could have been totally different without those years in Milwaukee.
So that's how Pekka feels now. But we're talking about how Yaroslav Askarov feels today. And Frank Saravalli at the Daily Faceoff, he said the Predators are looking for a backup goalie. And the point being that there may be, they may want to send Askarov back to Milwaukee, and that teams around the league are fascinated to see how Askarov, the same goalie that came out of the crease to check somebody in the AHL playoffs, they are fascinated to see how Askarov will react to this. Well, I can tell you right now, he's pissed. And Barry Trotz had a line in the Alex Doherty article where he said he's ready when he's ready, not when his agent thinks he's ready. But Askarov does have the ability to go back to Russia at some point, and that's something they have to keep in mind. Tristan is up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Thank you for waiting patiently. Tristan, you go ahead.
Yes, I think this was a bad move for Barry Trotz. Signing UC Soros for an 8-year deal for $7 million, like I would have gotten Askarov starting because, I mean, these goalies, like the younger goalies are starting to produce. Like look at Bennington from St. Louis and
Bennington's kind of an old man. I mean, I would say old man, but Bennington is not young.
Okay, they had a 25-year-old goalie who won the Stanley Cup with them, didn't they, or was I mistaken?
Well, yeah, but like that's like that. I mean, like we're talking Askarov's like 22 or like 21 or something like that. Like he's not 25 is different. If Askarov was 25, maybe this would be a different discussion. But he's not that old. I mean, I don't think you're seeing Tristan. Thank you for the call. I don't think you're seeing 22-year-old goalies winning in the NHL. Like, I am going to be completely blunt. I have disagreed with Chris Mason tooth and nail. But I will say this. Like, the idea of Askarov coming up at 21 years old and lighting the league on fire, I just don't think that we see that very often from goalies. I mean, I think there's something to the idea of developing Askarov. What really made this a problem was Soros' contract. That's what made this a problem. If Soros had been signed for 2 more years or 3 more years, then the Predators would have been in a perfect spot to say, okay, Askarov goes back down to Milwaukee for year 3, and then after year 3, and Askarov is not going to like going down to Milwaukee because, again, Pekka said he thought it was the worst thing in the world when he got sent down back to Milwaukee. Now, the difference between him and Pekka is Pekka got sent down. Dan Ellis was the starting goalie. Dan Ellis didn't have a 9-year contract in front of him. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, you're not ready, wait a year. Hey, you're not ready, wait 2 years. It's another thing to say, hey, you're not ready, wait 9 years. That is something that would be even difficult for me to hear. I mean, 9 years from now, I'm going to be 43 years old. I'm going to be old 9 years from now. And that's what, again, you can tell Askarov, hey, you know, we've limited the trade protection on the back end of the deal, and, you know, 5 years from now, maybe we'll make the move. But all he's seeing is an 8-year extension. But the one thing I do want to say, because the caller called in and said that he thinks it's a bad deal by Barry Trotz, and I do too. Again, this is the first major decision Barry Trotz has made that personally I disagree with. But I do want to say this. Just because I think it's a bad deal today does not mean that I'm going to approach every day thinking this is a bad deal and saying, oh, this was terrible and there's no chance this works out. There absolutely is a chance that it works out. They absolutely could win in the playoffs with Soros as the goalie. Just like Bill Callahan, I mean, look, I don't like the idea of moving J.C. Latham to left tackle, but I think there's a chance Bill Callahan can get it right because he's Bill Callahan. So what we should do, and I'm just saying this for all of us, including me, is we probably need to approach this with, even if we don't like the contract, there is a chance that Barry Trotz is making the right call here. There is a real chance. Even if you don't like it, there is a chance that you're wrong. 615-737-1025. More your phones. 615-737-1025. Plus, Barry Trotz has vowed he is not trading Yaroslav Askarov. But it doesn't seem that's what everybody in the media seems to believe. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025 and your phones here on Stillman & Company. Tune into 94.9 The Fan. Tonight is the Sounds. Take on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp at 6:05. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan. Presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Caudill Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. And by the way, tune in for racing today and tomorrow on 93.3 Classic Hits and 102.5 The Game. Tonight, 93.3 Classic Hits will have live coverage of the Rackley Roofing 200 at 6:30, and tomorrow, the Tennessee Lottery 250 will be on 102.5 The Game with coverage beginning at 3:30. Presented by Green Trees Company. Green Trees Company is a family-owned cannabis company located in Hendersonville with a new location in West Nashville and available online at greentreescompany.com.
With Askey, we want to just make sure that he's, you know, continues to keep growing. He's obviously he's a great prospect. But he's still pretty raw, and that's one of the reasons that, bringing Mitch Korn back with him and Ben Vanderklok and Jason Barron and Pecorini and our goaltending department. I mean, we really feel strongly that Askarov can really take it to the next level because he does it on size and natural ability. And now if we can just bring a little more of the technical game, a nice blend there, then you're going to see. He's at the same sort of the same pace that Pekka was in. If you remember where Pekka was in his career, I think he played his third year. Dan Ellis actually beat him out at training camp. And he went down to Milwaukee, I think it was the third year. And then he came back after that, and he never looked back. He's going to have a Hall of Fame career. So I'd like to see that with Askarov as well.
That was Barry Trotz on Monday. Does that sound like somebody that doesn't think that he's got Yaroslav Askarov in his long-term plans? When he's sitting there saying, hey, we brought Mitch Korn back, and Mitch Korn is the goalie guru. I heard Chris Mason on the Midday Show today say that that Mitch Korn was the single most important person in his career, you know, to make him an NHL goalie or to make him good in the NHL or whatever it was that Chris said. I don't want to put words in his mouth. But that he, you know, gave a lot of credit to Mitch Korn. Mitch Korn is the Bill Callahan of goaltending. Ian, would you say that that is a fair comparison?
Probably, yeah.
He is the Bill Callahan of goaltending. And they brought him in. And again, Barry Trotz is saying, we brought him in because of Askarov. And we look at Askarov, and we think he's at the same point in his career that Pekka was when Pekka was on the ascent. The difference is Dan Ellis, once again, did not have a 9-year contract in front of Pecorine, whereas now UC Saros does. So on one hand, the way Barry Trotz is talking, it's like, oh, we're developing the next Pecorine. Pecorine's the best player in the history of the Predators. He's the only one that has a statue outside of the stadium. He's on the same path this guy is. So are you planning to make him the goaltender of the future? Yes. Okay, well, then why did you give the other guy a 9-year contract? Like, you know what I'm saying? And again, I think Barry's looking at it, and this is why I'm fascinated to see what the trade protection is, but I feel very strongly that it is a full no move early, and then it significantly decreases. But I'm fascinated because I think Barry's thinking, like, in 4 years I'll know. Well, I don't know how Askarov's going to take that. Now, Barry told the Tennessean yesterday, I'm not trading Yaroslav Askarov. But most people in the NHL world think Yaroslav Askarov is getting traded. I mean, I was listening to it on NHL Network Radio, and then Frank Saravalli wrote today at the Daily Faceoff, he's got his kind of trade board out, and Yaroslav Askarov has jumped up to number 9. Jacob Trouba is number 8. Jacob Chychrun is number 7. By the way, Ian, I don't know if you heard this, Vingan walked back his Jacob Trouba hate today.
And even Willie Donick seemed interested in the Trouba move.
Thank you. So, thank you. Meh. Thank you. And Frank Saravalli says, With Soros closing in on an, this is a dailyfaceoff.com. With Soros closing in on an 8-year, $62 million extension, there really is no path forward for the 2020 number 11 overall pick in net. Don't tell Barry that. He continues. Given that there are also teams now wondering whether he's likely to return to AHL Milwaukee for a third consecutive year, does that mean Barry Trotz, does that mean time is of the essence for GM Barry Trotz to move Askarov? It was 1 year ago at the draft hosted in Nashville that the Preds put Askarov on the table in potential trade talks. That was one trade with San Jose, which was to move up to number 4 to get Will Smith, who probably would go number 1 overall if he was eligible today. He continues, Sarah Valley, he's had two excellent seasons with the Milwaukee Admirals, but the Predators are believed to be active on the backup goalie market, signaling that they'd plan for him to start in the AHL if he's still in the organization. I'm just saying, Barry Trotz is trying to have his cake and eat it too. And most people in the NHL world do not believe he can do that. And the only thing that Askarov has here is he has the ability, when his contract is up next year, to say, screw you, I'm going back to Russia. Now, in the case of somebody like me, I mean, while we do see American players go over to the KHL, I wouldn't touch the KHL with a 10-foot pole. I ain't screwing around with Putin. Now, maybe if Donald Trump's president, maybe I'd have a better shot of not getting in trouble in Russia because those two, you know, whatever. But I still wouldn't touch the KHL with a 10-foot pole. But he's Russian, so it's different. He might not have a problem going back to Russia. And that's something that Barry Trotz has to keep in mind. And he saw it happen with Radulov. And the one thing I'll say about Barry Trotz is, to me, Barry Trotz comes off as the kind of guy who he'll treat you the way he expects you to treat him. And I hope that I've done a good job of that, of being like, hey, I shoot it straight with him, he shoots it straight with me, and that's what it is. But I see Barry Trotz being the kind of guy who is going to treat Yaroslav Askarov and say, hey, I have respect for you, I believe in you, but I am doing what's in your best interest by sending you back to Milwaukee, by bringing in Mitch Korn, by having Pekka kind of oversee or help oversee your development, and we're going to turn you into a superstar. And then at the end of the day, if we're committed to UC Soros at that point, then I will trade you, and you will start in the NHL one day, but not right now. And I think Barry expects the respect from Askarov to say, okay, the organization has a plan for me, and because of that, I will fall in line with it. The problem is, kids today don't necessarily operate like that. Jeff says, what's the big deal? Soros is a good slash great goalie, and the trade market was not looking that good. Askarov probably gets the better return based on his potential and cost certainty, especially with so many teams pressed for cap space. And Soros and the defense did their job in the playoffs. The offense has mostly always needed improvements. Yes, which is why you don't give $7.5 million. You take the cost certainty of the young goalie and you move off the expensive goalie and you get offense in return. That's the whole point, Jeff. That's the point. One texter in the text line says, the respect you give Barry Trotz when you disagree with him couldn't be more different than the other disrespect you give Rand Carthon. That is shameful. By the way, let me say this. It wasn't me who called Rand Carthon a liar first. It was Rand Carthon who called me a liar first. So when you say, hey, the way you treat Barry Trotz is the way I expect Barry Trotz to treat me, Rand Carthon said, I wasn't telling the truth. I was telling the truth. And again, he can do what he wants, and he can build his team his way, but I still have a hard time believing that Michael Penix, that they knew that Michael Penix was going to get drafted by the Atlanta Falcons. Could be wrong. Could be wrong, but I tend to doubt that. Texter says, I don't mind the signing of UC Soros, but I don't like the amount of years. UC Soros is very athletic and can move around very well for a goalie, but when that starts to fade away as he gets older, how will that transition to an older goalie? See, here's what I don't really like about Soros, and I think Soros is, I mean, just solid. Like, I think he's dependable. He does not get injured. He never causes a problem. We talk about, hey, Can Pekka or can Askarov go back down to Milwaukee and take his medicine and deal with it? I mean, Soros had to spend most of 2017 in Milwaukee because if he played X amount of games, he would have been eligible for the expansion draft. So what the Predators did was they had Merritt Mazinitz as the backup goalie, and then they would call Soros up to start and then send him right back down. You've never heard UC Soros say one negative word or complain at all in the almost 7 years that he's been a Predator. I mean, Soros is solid. He is dependable. He is good. He is all of these things. I am worried about the size. I am worried about, as he gets older, I am worried about the size. And I am worried about whether or not in the playoffs, when things get dirtier, when goals become, you know, when players are playing harder, when the piles become muckier, can he be able to see around all that at his size? Or is it going to be like that free-for-all at the end of Game 4 against Vancouver where somehow they put one in the net because what you really need is you need the goalie to freeze the puck at some point so you can kind of reset as opposed to a two-minute free-for-all down there with the extra attacker. And I am worried about the size. 615-737-1025. I think there's a big disagreement that I have. And I think there are people that are against this contract and people that are for this contract. I'm not sure there's really a middle ground here. But there is something that I feel that maybe not everybody else who's against this contract feels. And I am just convinced that as much as we want to deflect on this, reality tells a different story. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman & Company. Join us this July 4th at the 18th Annual Music City Hot Chicken Festival at East Park. It's a spectacular day packed with live music, contests, and, of course, hot chicken. It's free, so bring the whole family and discover more at hotchickenfestival.com.